You have your Bibles this morning, if you take them and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll look there together as we begin our lesson this morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We appreciate those that are visiting with us. We're thankful that you've come to be with us and invite you back any opportunity you may have to be with us at our services here at Market Street. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, looking at verse 18. Paul, in these admonitions we've gotten to on our class on Sunday morning, makes this statement when he says, in these admonitions for our personal improvement, self-improvement, he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. In everything, give thanks. You know, I think how important it is for us to be people that understand the heart of gratitude. You know, we live in a nation which has given us a holiday, which we have set aside. It was set aside by President George Washington in 1789, after he became president, that he would make a day of Thanksgiving. It would be November the 26th. It wasn't the fourth Thursday. It was always November 26th for many years as it began. And it was a day that was set aside for the people of this country to remember God, to remember the blessings that they have, and to be thankful to God for these blessings. Of course, this had been brought about because of the fact that the colonists, having come here and landed in this nation and having settled in this country and began that first year in 1623 to be thankful for the blessings that God had provided for them. Matter of fact, in July the 30th, 1623, was the date of the first Thanksgiving on that first year that they had been in this country. And, you know, I think it's important that we realize that we are to be people that are thankful. We live in a nation which has really forgotten about being thankful. As a matter of fact, the attitude of life is pretty much get it and get it as you can and go with it and don't worry about where it came from, but use it while you've got it. And that's not a very good attitude. As a matter of fact, it's not an attitude that really is very much thoughtful to the idea of really where blessings come from. And you know, when I think about this, I think about how the Bible teaches things like this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, when he says, give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God. To give thanks. That means really my life ought to be a life of gratitude. My attitude in life ought to be that of having an attitude of thankfulness. When I think about this, I think we need to be reminded of the fact that we should be grateful for our blessings. I think about over in James chapter 1 and verse 17, where we remember the passage of Scripture, I'm sure, where James writes and he says in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All blessings come from God. You know, we need to be reminded of the fact that when we have a blessing, that we don't sit there and think, well, I have worked to get this. That somehow or another somebody has given me this, or that somehow I've achieved this. No, we need to understand that when we have a blessing, that it is a blessing that is from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Do we understand that that's where our blessings come from? Do we really understand that our blessings are from God? I'm afraid that we oftentimes don't do that. I'm afraid oftentimes we forget to be thankful that the blessings we have come from God. That we oftentimes may forget when we have a blessing to be thankful to God. Oh, we can go to God in prayer and we can remember God when things are bad and we really need something. And we use God kind of like a wish list. We kind of go to Him and say, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. But you know, when we get it, do we really remember to say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You know, we ought to. And that ought to be just characteristic of the people of God, to be thankful for what they have and what they have been blessed with. And, you know, we need to be reminded of the blessings that we have. You know, the common, familiar blessings, as we might talk about. The things that we don't maybe give a lot of attention to is being thankful for. One of those things that I'm thinking about this morning that we need to be grateful for is for our food. I'm turning over to Acts chapter 14, and I'm looking at verse 16 here, where I'm really picking up in the middle of a path. Let's just back up to verse 14. It says, and when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard that they had rent their clothes, they ran among the people, crying out, saying, sirs, why do these things? We're also men of like passions with you, that you should then and should preach unto you, that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made the heaven and earth and the sea and all things therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You see, he says, where we get our food, where we get the rain from heaven, it comes from God. How many of us this morning, honestly, how many of us this morning have awakened to see the falling of the rain and to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for sending the rain. I'm afraid that, like many of me, personally, I look at it and I say, oh, it's going to be a messy day. I hate to get out of here in this messy weather. Do we see the blessing of rain? What if we did not have rain? What if we did not have the rain fall from heaven to water the ground, to bring forth the fruit, to yield after its kind? What would happen? Or what about the cold weather that we have? It is cold like we've had this past week, and we have to bundle up in those coats, and oh, we don't like that. Oh, we look at Buffalo, New York, and we see that snow that's been there, and we just think about how terrible it is and how much I'm glad I don't live in Buffalo, New York, and have to deal with those things. Well, that's right. I'm glad I don't. But do we only see bad and the cold and the snow and those things? You know, the Bible talks about that there are treasures in the snow, that there are things in the snow that we need to be reminded of, blessings and things and lessons that we can learn. And not only that, but the water that it gives us, the freezing of the ground and what it produces in controlling the insect population and those types of things. Do we ever see the value in those kinds of things? I'm afraid sometimes it might be something that just comes to us commonly, and maybe we even look at it, and when we see it, we think, well, this is not good. This is messing up my plans. I had plans for something, but I can't do it if it rains, or I can't do it if it's cold. And so we begin to maybe see it as not a good thing. You know, when we do that, we become like the children of Israel. You remember the children of Israel when they were taken out of Egyptian bondage? And they were brought through across the Red Sea, and they were on their way to the promised land. And you remember how they were there, and God was giving them food from heaven, manna to eat? What was their attitude about that? Were they thankful? Was their attitude an attitude of gratitude? No. They murmured and they complained, saying, oh, you've given us this loathsome bread. You've brought us out into this wilderness to die. We would have been better off if you'd have left us in Egypt. We need to be people that are thankful. We don't need to be like the children of Israel that are looking at the blessings we have and can't see the blessings, because all we can see is the hardships that these blessings may be giving us, or the things that we don't like about the blessings that we have. We need to be reminded of those blessings. See, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. So, as we see life and as we see the hardships and the things, let us remember to be thankful. Let us remember to be thankful. We need to be thankful for our families. We need to be thankful for our families. You know, It may be somebody may say, well, but David, if you had a family like mine, you would understand why you can't be thankful. Well, I know some families may be more challenging than others. But we need to be thankful for our families. We need to be thankful for our fathers and our mothers. You know, I'm talking to many of you here in the audience here who don't have a father and a mother anymore living among you. But you have their memories of those fathers and mothers. I hope you're still thankful for those fathers and mothers. I hope you're still mindful of them. And as you have fathers and mothers, I hope you remember to be thankful for your fathers and mothers. I hope that you remember them and thankfulness to God for them, for the training that they gave you while you were at home, while you were being raised and trained to grow up, to go on with your life, to live your life so that you could be a father and a mother yourself, and that you could train your children to grow up, and that your children will be the kind of people that will be thankful for their families. That they train you and they teach you in the ways of God. They teach you how to be a husband, a wife, a child. And most importantly, if they've trained you how to be a child of God. And they've taught you the spiritual lessons that you need in the values of God, the values of Christ, the values of what life is really all about. If you've had that training within your home, that is something to be thankful for. But so oftentimes we take that as commonness. We take that as something that we just have, and everybody's done it. We go to church. We've done this maybe a long time in our life. We've done it maybe since we were just children and we've grown up, and we had that training and we got it from home, and we just do it, and we don't ever stop, and we're not thankful for it. We're not thankful that our parents trained us. We're not thankful that our children have been trained because our parents taught us how to train our children, who brought our children up so they are going to church and are faithful in serving God. You know, these are blessings to be thankful for. Remember to be thankful. Thankful for your homes. Thankful for your children. You know, we live in a day and age in which people are not thankful for children. As a matter of fact, oftentimes what we see so often in life is that people see children as maybe even a problem. You know, children are just what they are. They're children. That's no other way to put it except they're children. And so they don't know everything. They don't have all the answers. They can't do everything right because they don't know how to do it right. They've got to be trained to do right. And so we have to train our children. But so oftentimes, people look at children and they look at them more as a hindrance and a problem and a difficulty. And so what you actually have is you now have people who are deciding that they don't want their children. What we often see people doing in this country is we see people who come to be with child, young ladies, and they abort their children before they're even born. Then you'll see children that are born, and after they're born, you'll see the mothers and fathers, whatever, abandon the children. Just leave them for somebody else to take, to raise, to train. You see, that's not being thankful for the blessing that you've been given. As I think about this, I'm thinking about over in Psalm 127. Psalm 127, and this is what the psalmist says about the home, about the house, about the children. He says, except the Lord build the house, verse 1. They labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keepeth the city. The watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat bread of sorrows, for so he giveth beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are they in the hand of mighty men, so are children and children of youth. Happy is a man that has a quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, I sit here and I see what the psalmist says here, and he says, these children you have, they are a heritage of the Lord. You know, you ought to be proud. You ought to be as a man who has his quiver full. They're like arrows. You ought to be proud that you have your quiver full of children. A man who's going to battle is proud of his armament, of his arrows. He says, you ought to be like that with your children. You ought to be proud of these. You ought not be ashamed. But oftentimes, we see children as a responsibility, as a problem, as a difficulty. But we need to remember they're our responsibility to train, to teach in the ways of God. This psalm here reminds me that our aim is to take these children that are given to us of the Lord and to train them. Psalm says, precious gifts that come from God, our dear children whom we love. What a blessed privilege we have, molding hearts for heaven above. Brother Huey Hartzell wrote those words years ago and talking about our children and teaching us to train our children. Children are a part of the home, and we ought to be thankful for that. We don't need to see the home as material blessings. When we think of the home, we don't need to think of the home and say, well, I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for the house. I'm thankful for my TV. I'm thankful for my VCR. I'm thankful for my cable box. I'm thankful for, we have all kinds of things. I'm thankful for my hot water heater. I'm thankful for, well, that's great. It's grateful to be thankful for things you have like that. But don't see the home as those kinds of things. The home is more than that. The home is about family, relationships. But not only do we see that, but it's also as we think about that, it leads me to the next thing, and that is that we need to be thankful for, and that is we need to be thankful for our spiritual family. We need to be thankful for the spiritual family, those we have in Christ, who are serving with us, who are working with us, and encouraging us in the Lord. You know, when we think about that, we need to remember that our spiritual family is such a value to us. You know, when I think about this, I think about a passage over in Hebrews chapter 10, where here I think the Hebrew writer makes this point that I think is so important for us to remember, and that is how we have a value to one another. I think oftentimes we forget the value we are to one another in the service of the Lord. But we are valuable to one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, look with me in verse 22. The Hebrew writer says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful and promised. And let us consider one another. You know, he's talking about our holding fast, our being faithful. He's talking about us drawing near to God with a pure heart, full assurance of faith. You know, these are things we need to do individually. We need to draw near to God. We need to hold fast our profession. But then as he's talking about these things, he says, let us consider one another. As we're doing these things, we need to consider one another. To what? To provoke and to love and to good works. To help others to draw near to God with a true heart. In full assurance of faith, to cause others to hold fast their profession of faith. You see, we need to see the value of one another. As we spend time with one another, as we help one another, encourage one another. But so oftentimes, what we do is we don't see the value that there is in our relationships. It reminds me of a story I heard where a man had a house and he said, I want to sell my house. And he called the realtor. And the realtor told him, said, okay. He said, that's fine. He said, if you will do something for me, and I'll get back with you in a few days. Or you can get back with me in a few days after you do this. And he said, make a list of all the things about your house that you like. All the attributes and things that you really admire and think are good about your house. And so I can have something to be able to write the ad up. So he wrote the list down. Well, a week went by and he never heard from him. He was kind of surprised because the man seemed to be kind of a hurry to get his house on the market. So he called him. He said, hey, I'm ready to get that list from you. I thought you probably would have called me back before now. And he said, I'm sorry I hadn't got back with you quicker. He said, oh, that's okay. No problem. He said, I've decided not to sell. He said, well, why? He said, well, after I wrote up the list, he said, I thought this is exactly what I'm looking for. And oftentimes that's our problem. We have right what we're looking for in front of us, but we don't take time to make a list. You know, couples sometimes will come to me with some problem in their marriage. I'll say, take time, write a list of the things you admire about your spouse. Write that list. What were the things that caused you to marry them in the first place? Write those things down for me. Put those things on a list. And you know, when they look at it, they think, well, what I married is what I've got. It's what I wanted. You know, oftentimes we've got right in front of us. When you look at your children, what kind of children do you want? Make a list. Prioritize it. And put the list. And oftentimes our children may be exactly what we're looking for. But what we do, we can't see the thing. We can't see the good. You know, you think about church, and you start saying, what kind of church do I want to be a part of? And you start making a list. Make a list of what you're looking for. What kind of church do you want to be a part of? And you start making it, and you all of a sudden you look and you say, you know, where I go to church is exactly what I'm looking for. There are these kind of people all in that church. But oftentimes we can't see that. All we can do is grumble and complain about how we don't think this is right because our focus is out of perspective. So we need to be mindful to be thankful. We need to be thankful ultimately because we have all spiritual blessings because of Jesus Christ. I'm turning my Bible now to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he makes, I think, some very good statements that we need to make sure we understand about blessings and why we should be thankful and having an attitude of gratitude. And it all boils back to this, and that is in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should not only be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and in made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, to the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and earth, which are on earth, and even in him, in whom also we have obtained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according or after his counsel of his own will, that we should be unto the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ." Now read this section of verses and I say, what do we see the blessings in Christ are? Well, what I see is the privilege of the fact that we're in a relationship with God. That we're in the spiritual blessings with Christ in heavenly places. Where this relationship that we have to be able to call upon God as our Father. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, we cry, "Abba, Father." Why are we able to call upon God as Father? Because we have these spiritual blessings which are in Christ. We also have the forgiveness of sins he mentions here. The forgiveness of sins which are no longer remembered against us. We also have that redemption he mentions here, being bought back, not being enslaved to the penalty of death, but being redeemed, brought back to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then we also have that hope of that inheritance we have in heaven laid up for us and for all those that are faithful. You know, we have all these spiritual blessings in Christ. And so oftentimes it's hard for us maybe to be mindful of these blessings because we just don't have an attitude of gratitude. We have an attitude of what am I getting out of it right now? What are my brothers and sisters in Christ doing for me right now? Not what can I do for them. Not what they have done for me. And oftentimes that leads us to problems. You know, our thoughts need to be thinking on good things. I think about that. I think about over in Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, And he makes this statement in verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to think on these things. And now that we have the knowledge of these things, let us share the knowledge that we have. The knowledge of the grace of God. The knowledge of the righteousness that can be had in Christ. The righteousness that we can be declared by serving God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And with thanksgiving for the relationship we have. See, it's a wonderful blessing we have that we're able to be called the children of God. In John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John writes, he says, beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And what a blessing it is. And you know, when we take that blessing and then we start coupling it with our life and the things that we just have that we may not oftentimes look to, we are truly a blessed people. No wonder, no wonder. Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Maybe that you're here this morning. Maybe you're not a member of the body of Christ. This morning I would not know what to say to you except that you need to receive the forgiveness of sins, that you can have the blessings that we've talked about, these spiritual blessings, the fact of being redeemed, being reconciled, brought back to God, the idea that your sins are no longer held against you, but you have those things taken away, blotted out, no longer your guilt. But now you have the blood of Jesus that causes you to hear the Lord say, you are mine. And then as a child of God, and you're in your mind, and you're serving God, and you're growing, and you're trying to serve God, and you make mistakes, you transgress, then you can come back to God and ask God to forgive you. And He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we can assist you this morning in making your life what it needs to be in the sight of God, will you with thanksgiving this morning accept the grace, and will you respond while we stand, while we sing?